Dear friends in Christ, living in history-rich South Carolina, especially here in the Charleston area, is a lot of fun, a lot of excitement for someone who likes history. It was just last month we had Carolina Day, and that was so interesting that here on Sullivan Island, just a short distance from here, a ragtag group of soldiers built, kind of halfway a fort out of palmetto logs and sand, and they took on the British Navy, the largest, most powerful Navy in the world in 1776. And they won, even sunk a ship, amazing. But we began our journey on the 250th anniversary, actually, last year in December. It was, they call it Victory Day. December 14, 1782. You're thinking, what happened then? Well, Charleston was the last city to be evacuated by the British after their defeat. And so it was celebrated. And then, just up the road here at the new Dorchester County Library, they reenacted things like the Swamp Falls, Francis Marion. And I met someone from church, a woman dressed up in a colonial outfit, and her ancestor owned and operated Bacon's Bridge. I thought, wow, that's cool. And then, I could go on and on and on, but you get to a point where you have to preach a sermon when you're at church, right? You gotta tell them about Jesus because that's the reason we're here. I will tie in some history from our founding and the Lutheran kind of part in it, a little bit of it, because it's too expansive to explain too much about it. But to talk about Jesus, the most important historical event, that God came into our world and he walked here, and that Jesus, seeing the whole sordid mess, he would come into this world and give his life on the cross to take our sins, something he didn't deserve, something we didn't deserve to have him do that for us. He does it by God's grace, and he forgives you, and he loves you, and he says, I want that message to go out. I want it to be spread like seed everywhere. But in our story today, it's a little different than last week's. Last week's was about farming, or for a lot of us, like when I asked the kids, they're not farmers much anymore, but people have gardens, about planting things and weeds get in it. And Jesus talks about this. And it's a little different because last week's sermon was about the seed being the gospel being spread around. Some falls on good ground, some on bad, we know the story. Today is a little different. The seed are the good people. The good seed are those who receive Christ and are forgiven of their sins. Not that they earned it, but that God, by his grace, saves them. And then the bad seed, those are the ones who are the weeds, the bad seed. They are the sons of the evil one. And who's the evil one? He tells us, Jesus makes it real easy, the devil. And as I mentioned to the kids in this world, he says, out in the field, out in the world, you have the Christian people and the devil seeds, and it says seeds over them, like seeding over. You ever had a lawn and it's kind of thin, you seed over it. Well, this is seeding over with weeds, which are growing up with it. When I was a kid, when we read the Bible, it was the wheat and the tares. Remember that, the tares, but people don't know what tares are anymore, so they say weeds. It was probably the bearded darnel weed, which kind of looks like wheat, and its roots can get tangled up with the wheat, and you try to pull one and kill both. And so the Lord used that example. And what's it about? Luther talked about this because he faced the situation. You don't make Christians by force. You don't make Christians at the point of a sword. Luther faced this in his day during the Reformation because, as you remember, after he posted the 95 theses, he ended up getting excommunicated. And he had to appear before the Diet of Worms. I mean, it sounds like something you put in your garden, but it means an important meeting at this town called Worms. And he's told that he's a criminal now because he doesn't believe right according to their thinking. So they're going to pursue him. The Spanish Inquisition, just think about this. They started off by killing like 18,000 people in the fire, by burning them. Prior to Luther, there were the Waldensians. The Waldensians, they went after them. They had said a lot of the same things that Luther was talking about. And they went in and burned down 900 of their houses, 24 villages, thousands of people, men, women, and children. They did the same thing to the Albigensians, burning them because they had kind of Protestant sort of ideas. And then the Huguenots, they went after the Huguenots, killed something like 10,000 of them, thinking they're serving Christ by doing this. When the Lord himself gave us a scripture like this, let the weeds grow with the wheat. You guys are not experts at separating them. The angels will take care of it later on. So these ideas here, they had an influence on the founding of our country. You think of our area here, Charlestown is what it was called, and they wrote a constitution, Anthony Ashley Cooper. I think you've heard of the words Ashley and Cooper around here a little bit. The proprietor under Charles II. Well, he said, we need to be able to share the gospel. And he said the state church will be the Anglican church, but we want to be able to let Jews and dissenters and Native Americans and others who don't maybe exactly share our ideas or may know nothing, like the natives in the area, they know nothing of the gospel. And we have to be able to share in a reasonable, gentle, kind way the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why Charleston ends up being called the Holy City. It has something like 400 churches in it. The oldest synagogue in North America is in Charleston. The oldest French Huguenot church, a Protestant church, is in Charleston. You have these different Christian churches who came here too, and they found that they could have freedom because in the Constitution here it said, and you can't persecute anyone or molest anyone in their church assemblies, or you can't go after anyone because they're religious opinions. If you want to see the record of the fundamental Constitution of the Carolinas, you can go online to Yale Law School, and they have it there online, and you can read it. You think, wow. They followed something that was in the scriptures. Because you remember, Jesus not only said, don't go and try to correct everybody out there. Oh, that one looks like a Christian, that one doesn't. You know, we'll get rid of him. No. So don't do that. You remember one time when the disciples and Jesus, they're going to a Samaritan town. And they go ahead and they try to introduce Jesus to the town, and they said, no, we don't want to hear it. James and John, remember they said, let's call fire down from heaven and burn them all up. And Jesus, you know, said, I appreciate the enthusiasm, sons of thunder, but that's not the way we do it. We shake the dust off our feet and we go on. The message of the gospel is the gospel of love. The message of the gospel is indescribable love. That God would come into our world, into our history, and with his lacerated body nailed to a felon's cross, and as he's dying and his last breath bleeding out, he can say, forgive them. They know not what they do. They're the very ones crucifying him. And think about the night when he was arrested. He's there in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and this big giant weed comes walking up to him and kisses him. Judas Iscariot, he had been among the 12. He looked like he was one of the 12. During the Last Supper, he leaves. They thought, oh, it's so nice of Judas to go out and give some money to the poor. That's probably what he's doing. He had faked them all out. He didn't fake Jesus out. But Jesus let that weed go along with him. And he betrayed Jesus. Jesus knew it was coming. And he went through it because he loved us. He gave his life for us. He says, I'll go where it's the worst of sinners. He says, remember, he says, oh, I'm going to go where the sick are. You know, he said, where's the doctor? And he needs to go where the sick people are and take care of them. Go down to the emergency room and mend up their bones and heal their blind eyes. And that's where Jesus went. He went to the sinners. Luther said, you know, if you kill people who are the weeds, you think are the weeds, he said, you're committing a double murder. You're killing their body and you're killing their soul, because now you give their soul no chance to ever hear the gospel, any other chance to hear the gospel again and receive Jesus Christ and know the love of God in their life, because you just went and killed them. You don't make Christians by force, by threatening to burn down their house, stabbing them, putting them on a rack and torturing them like they did during the Inquisition. Think about it, some of the early Lutherans, you know, we think of the Pilgrims, 1620, you know, period of time. Did you know that Lutherans came here into the Americas in 1528? Yeah. What happened was Luther was condemned 1521, oh, you're a heretic. You can be hunted. You can be killed. You can be thrown down a mine shaft or something. And he was protected. In 1528, before the reading of, you know anything about the Augsburg Confession, well, Charles V, who condemned Martin Luther, he had some debts. And the banking family there in Augsburg, he said, well, I'll take care of my debts by giving you the land which today is equivalent to Venezuela. And the banking family said, you know, we got these Lutherans here in town now. Let's send them over to start the colony. They sent them over there, and they were there for some decades. We don't know what happened to them. They kind of disappeared. The first permanent Lutheran colony, you might call it, was by the Danish, just a generation after, in the 1600s. In the West Indies. Today we call the West Indies the Caribbean Islands. And in 1917, Denmark sold the islands to the United States. They're now known as the U.S. Virgin Islands. And there were more black Lutherans there than white Lutherans. People don't realize that. They went there, these people went there because of persecution. The Huguenots came in near St. Augustine. The Huguenots, again, they were French Protestants. The Spanish heard that they were there. They called them Lutheranos. In Spanish, Lutheranos, Lutherans. And they went in and killed every man, woman, and child. Did Jesus say to do it that way? No. You disagree with somebody, you don't go and kill them. You convince them with the scriptures. See, be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and gentleness. Not the point of a sword. Not with threats of burning at the stake. Jesus came again with incredible, forgiving love and patience. You remember that when that Judas Iscariot came along and he betrayed Jesus? Peter, what did he do? He pulled out a sword and he whacked off the high priest's servant's ear. Malchus was his name. Cut his ear off. And Jesus said, put that sword away. You live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. that's not what my kingdom's about. And he picked up his ear and put it back on and healed the man in a divine protest to militant, violent Christianity, so-called Christianity. He demonstrated love for him. He knew what was going to be done to him. He knew he was going to be drug off that night, falsely accused and crucified. But he saw us, and he knew the need that was there, and the sordid mess of this world, and needing his forgiveness and his love, that God would come to us in history. Yeah, Lutherans also got involved in going up the Hudson River. They came with the Dutch. They had trouble getting Lutheran pastors because the Dutch wouldn't let them. And then Sweden came in, and they went up through Delaware, and they brought the gospel there into Delaware. It was hard getting pastors in those frontier areas. I mean, two pastors serving like 15 churches, they'd have to horseback ride 150 miles to the different churches. It was incredible. But the gospel is incredible. Pastors, they said, worked themselves to death to bring the gospel message. Then we have here we had some, and during the Revolutionary War, you had Peter Muhlenberg. His statue is in the rotunda of the Capitol. He was a Lutheran pastor. It said that his nephew said, you know, historians haven't been able to back it up, but his nephew said he pulled his robe off while he was preaching after he finished the sermon, and he had his military uniform underneath, and he gathered together 300 men to form a militia. He joined up with George Washington, and he fought with him at Valley Forge and other important places and rose to the rank of general. He talked his brother, Frederick Muhlenberg, into joining in, and he became part of the Constitutional Committee in Pennsylvania approving the Constitution. He then was elected on the first vote as the first Speaker of the House of the U.S. House of Representatives. And he is the one who signed the Bill of Rights, which in the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights is what? Freedom of religion. As you remember a text like this, just leave the weeds there. We're going to continue to share the gospel and the love of Christ so people would know the forgiveness of their sins. And it's going to be a mess. I know it's frustrating. I have planted gardens and had weeds start to take over. It's frustrating. He said, you continue. Work the garden. Bring the seed of the word of Christ that people would know God loves it. Frederick then, after serving a couple terms at the House of Representatives, went back to being a Lutheran pastor and was elected president of the German Lutheran Ministerium. Pretty interesting. Other stories could be told. But this gospel had an important impact, as Jesus' life has had an important impact on this entire world, changing world history. The most important event in world history is the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it means eternal life and salvation for a lost world. It's a gospel for you. Gospel meaning good news, forgiveness. But God wouldn't turn his back on this world, says, he made a mess of the whole place, I'm out of here. No, he didn't do that. He came right here, and he went to the worst of the sinners. And he said he loved them. That's Christ. That's your Savior. Yeah, it's fun to celebrate history and look at all the things, but you'd see in there the red thread of the gospel running through the lives of people. That's the important part to see. Because Christ came for all nations, all peoples, everywhere, at all times. Christ is there for you. And you tend to the garden and plant the seed of the gospel that many might know Christ. and his love. And may the peace of Christ, which passes our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in him for everlasting life.